Psalm 91 and verse 1 to 2, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I'll read it again, the two verses. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Of course, the King James calls that the secret place of the Most High. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Verse 2 again, and that's where the title of this message comes from. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Tell your neighbor for me, He is my God. Come on, look for another neighbor. Tell the person, He is my God. Look for yet another neighbor and tell the person, He is my God. All right, that's what I want us to use for it. Subject tonight, my God. Somebody say, my God. Come on, say, my God. Okay, say it in your native tongue. Say, my God. In your native tongue. Come on now, come on now. Say it in your native tongue, my God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless our hearts. Let there be light. Illuminate us, instruct us with your word. Shift us in understanding. Bless us with your word tonight. Father, we thank you. We worship you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. All right, tonight's message is, in a sense, a continuation of Sunday's message. And there's a refrain from Sunday that's just stuck with me. And I think we should just push it on tonight. Okay, go ahead and say after me. Say, there is a God. He is the Most High, and I am not Him. One more time, say, there is a God. He is the Most High, and I am not Him. One more time, there is a God. He is the Most High, and I am not Him. So this is what we're saying. No matter how capable I am, no matter how intelligent, affluent, successful I become, I always remember there is a God. He is the Most High. I am not. There is a God. He is the Most High, and I am not. So I want to stretch that thought tonight, that it's not enough to believe in God, or it's not enough to believe that there is a God. We must acknowledge Him as our God. Now, David in Psalm 91 is saying, you need to take this subject that seems to belong to everybody. For you to benefit from it, you need to personalize it. So it's not enough to say there is a God. We must acknowledge Him as our God and then live our lives in submission to His will. It's not enough to say there is a God, He is the Most High. That fact or that piece of truth must find expression in the course of my everyday life. Okay, He is God, and so what? If He does not reflect in the way I live, I don't benefit from the fact that there is God. So Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says that he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You need both. He that comes to God must believe that He is, but you don't stop there. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. In other words, it's not enough for me to believe He is. If I believe He is, it will be proven in the way I seek Him. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's not enough to believe He is. If I do believe He is, it will show in the way I seek Him. James chapter 2 and verse 16. James chapter 2 and verse 16 to verse 23. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Look at this. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even demons believe that. Can you see? So you can't stop at the point of believing there is God. You believe there is a God? Even demons, not even unbelievers, evil spirits know there is God. So your life cannot stop at the point of there is God. Do you understand? You can't stop at there is God. Even demons believe that and shudder. Look at verse 20.
You foolish person, not you, that person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. In other words, if you believe, you will behave. If you truly believe, you will behave. That brand of Christianity that believes but does not behave according to belief is empty. If there is God and he is the Most High, it will reflect in the way I align myself to him. Are we getting this? Verse 22. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. Hallelujah. So it's not enough to believe there is God. Demons believe. That faith must be accompanied by what? A lifestyle that reflects that there is God. And Hebrews 11:6 helps us understand that lifestyle. It is a lifestyle that seeks God diligently. Are we getting this? In other words, everywhere you are found, it should be obvious you are a Christian. Everywhere you are found, it should be obvious that you seek God. Not that you know God. Not that you believe in God. You diligently seek him. Hallelujah. You diligently seek him. Let's go back to our text. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What I want to do in just a minute is to show you perhaps two lessons that David has for us, okay, just two verses, okay? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the first thing he's trying to get us to understand. To experience him as El Shaddai, you have to acknowledge him as El Elyon. To experience him as El Shaddai, you have to what? Acknowledge him as El Elyon. He that dwells in the secret place of the El Elyon, the Most High. In other words, God, you are not my number one. You are my one and only. You are in a class all by yourself. You are the one that I seek. You are my priority after I set my priorities. Do you understand what I'm saying now? He that dwells in the secret place, if God is not your Most High, he will not become your Almighty. And the Almighty, the word Almighty is El Shaddai. It means all-powerful. It means more than sufficient. It means multi-breasted. The God who is more than enough. When you want to see God break out on your behalf, you have to live. And the Bible did not say he that visits the secret place, it is he who dwells. He who takes permanent habitation in what? In the Most High. Are we getting this? You have to acknowledge him as your Most High. What I brought to us tonight is not a shouting message like that. It's a solemn word. Because one of the things I have observed is how that many people name the name of the Lord, but it does not reflect in their everyday choices. And when they are in trouble, they call after him. When they are in trouble, they run to him. But God is not that kind of God. He does not want that kind of relationship with anybody. God wants to know you. He wants you to know him. Listen, God is more interested in intimacy with you than in blessing you materially. Are we getting this? Material blessing is granted. Material blessing is the icing on the cake. Material blessing is the extra. The real deal is a functional relationship with God. God wants to know you. God wants you to know him. Hallelujah. So to experience him as your El Shaddai, you have to acknowledge him as your Most High. So the question I came to ask you tonight is, God your Most High? In the choices you make on a daily basis, in the way you respond. I said something on Sunday. I don't know if you caught it. I said, who you respond to is who you worship. Do you understand what I'm saying? Who you respond to is who you worship. That in every interaction or in every transaction of your life, there are in the minimum three people involved. There is the third party, there is you, and there is God. In every transaction, there is the other party, there is you, and there is God. If you worship God, you will respond the way he wants you to respond, regardless of what the other person is doing. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So every good Christian, every God-fearing person is a law-abiding citizen, not because the government is right, but because God says that you should submit yourself to every government. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we should. So I'm not doing it because of the person, I'm doing it because of God. I told them at the singles conference in Badr the same thing. Ephesians 5, if people could just understand. Bible says, wives, submit your husbands as unto the Lord. There was never a time where God said, your husband is Lord. There was never a time where God said he stopped being human, he stopped being weak, or he stops making mistakes. But God says, if you honor him, I mean, honor me by submitting to him, I will lift you. I will bless you. And sometimes God will use the same person that is not competent enough, that is not strong enough. God will use the same thing, same person to bless you when you honor him by honoring him. Capital H, small h. Are you getting this right now? Yes. The simple analogy I give people is, these are our nannies. Okay? Our kids will make a mess. Our kids will say what they are not supposed to say. Some of the younger ones, until they know the meaning of a slap, they can slap their nanny. And they're just playing. But you notice these nannies will take it. You know the reason why? Even though they are cleaning the mess of this boy or this girl, even though this boy is the one insulting them, everything they are doing because of the person who pays them at the end of the month. If you don't get that one, the next time you go to your bank and they are using sir, ma for you, always remember, it's not about you. At the end of the month, okay, they get their salary. In training, they told them, call everybody sir. So they will look at your bank balance and say, so 250 naira. I say, so sir, what would you like to do? Do you understand what I'm saying now? It has nothing to do. Let me give you this hilarious one so that you understand what I'm saying. One of my role models, had this beautiful big car he was driving. And he said, when he gets to the estate gate, you know, all the guys will stand up, sure, sir. You know, that kind of thing. They will salute him. They will greet him and all that. And that has been his life for a long time. For one reason or the other, he was not with his car and he was going with another car, a very small car. He said, I got to the gate. They didn't notice him. They didn't greet him. He said, it dawned on him for the very first time. They were not greeting me. It was the car they were greeting. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was the car they were greeting. So you need to understand, it's the Lord you are serving. Okay, Colossians 3:24. Bible says, whatever it is that you are doing, do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. So this is the challenge. When you stop worshiping God, you begin to react to men. You don't see God in the equation anymore. It becomes the two of us. It becomes, you want to cheat me. There is a God who will not forget your labor of love. There is a God who is faithful. There is a God who cannot be cheated. That same God is a third party. Malachi, he told them in Malachi, he said, I'm against you. He said, because you've been unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The guy thought it was just the two of us. God says, it's been three of us all the while. Who you respond to is who you worship. Hallelujah. And this is another thing David was trying to tell us in Psalm 91. It's a personal thing. Regardless of our association, regardless of the fact that we congregate from time to time, it is a personal thing. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then he goes to verse 2 and he says, from Aaron is what? It's a personal thing. I will say of the Lord. We saw a bad eye on Sunday. This is the good eye. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my God. Perhaps the only time you use the word my, and it's not negative. My God. Hallelujah. But he's not our God. This is what I'm trying to say. The manifestation of God in your life is not a function of your association. It's a function of your personal conviction. I will say of the Lord, regardless of what you are saying, he is my refuge, not our refuge. Oh, but I want him to be our refuge. Say your own. He is my fortress. In other words, every other person may get into trouble, but the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I, the righteous, run into it, and I am safe. He is my fortress, and he is my God. Why? I trust him. Hallelujah. I do what? I trust him. Let's look at another person who expressed such trust in God, and who was also telling us this thing is a personal thing. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 to 15 says, Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Look at the next final line. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now this is Joshua, a leader, telling the people of Israel, you need to make
a choice. And that's what I came to tell us tonight. You can't continue to live your life like the average person on the street. You can't let the same wind blowing everybody blow you along. You have to make a choice. Okay? And he said to them, listen, if you think serving God is evil, then make a decision. You can't be indifferent about who you worship. You can't claim you name the name of the Lord and then refuse to depart from iniquity. So, but regardless of what you choose, it's a personal thing. Myself, my household, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Myself and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, this is my message to us tonight. It's futile to name the name of the Lord. It's futile to identify with God. And then to live our lives as if we don't believe in God. And what I'm going to do tonight is show you three different areas where you can be in alignment with God. That you will stop just naming the name of the Lord. You will begin to live your life like somebody who truly believes in God. But before we do that, there was one verse of scripture that I quoted on Sunday. And I noticed I've been throwing it around quite a while. And you know, I said to myself, I've never read it from the Bible. I hope that people believe and know that this verse is in the Bible. So I want us to study tonight Proverbs 13 and verse 15. So that you understand what we're saying. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. King James Version is where I'm going to start from. It says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Amplified Bible says, good understanding wins favor from others, but the way of the unfaithful is hard, like barren dry soil. Now, why is this verse of scripture so important to me? Because I see so many believers, you know, we come to church, we all look like Christians, we all talk like Christians. At church, we behave like Christians. But you need to understand, what you do in church is not as important. Okay, the same way we don't know who is going to succeed in school. It's not passing exams that make you successful. It's what you do with the things you learn after you have left school. And it's the same thing. After you've left church, Monday to Friday is proof of who you really are. And the mistake so many people make is they think, as long as I identify, all is well. No, sleeping in a garage will not make you a car. No, no. The same way, going to church will not make you a Christian. Listen to what I am saying. The act of going. No. What will make you a Christian is listening and doing what you are hearing at church. So this is the problem. I don't know if it's happened to you, that you would see people go through stuff or experience certain things, and you would think, but we are serving the same God. And if we're not careful, we begin to question the faithfulness of God. But a lot of times, these people are transgressing. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are transgressing. And the Bible says, the way of transgressors is hard. The Bible calls it the way of the unfaithful. This is what it means. It's not enough to name the name of the Lord. You have to be faithful to Him. Are we getting this? It's not enough to identify with God. We have to be faithful. So many people, when it's time to react, we neglect God. When we are in church, we remember, He's Emmanuel, God with us. But when we get home, we fight like He's not there. Some of us go to places where He does not want to go, forgetting that in Him we live, we move, and have our being. Are you getting this? So it's not about church. Church is good. But real Christianity is outside church. And I don't want to pastor people who make me feel like I'm not anointed. Because as long as you keep transgressing, your way will be hard. And then when people are sharing testimonies, you make it look like they just got lucky. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Say, it's just God just dashed you. Okay, and sometimes, you know, sometimes people make you feel guilty for being blessed. Yes. I'm telling you. They make you feel guilty for being blessed. Listen to me, this is what I'm trying to say to us. All of us will not be wealthy the same way. All of us will not break through on the same day. But in one calendar year, all of us ought to share testimonies. Yes. Are you getting this? See, your next level is your next level. Yep. While somebody may be relocating, another person is moving houses. While one person is moving houses, another one is buying land. Different level. Another person, while somebody is buying land, one is buying block. Yes. Another one is doing lintel. Another one is doing wiring. Another one is doing finishing. Another one is buying brand new tire for the first time. Your next level. And another one is negotiating.
So you see, there are some breakthroughs. You know it's your breakthrough, the fact that it's even crossing your mind. You understand? You don't look, I have shifted. See, but for us to keep going and for some people to be blessed and it looks like God is not the God of some other people, it is transgression. Because he has not called us to seek him in vain. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not saying it's everybody. But a lot of people are not experiencing the fullness of God because they are transgressors. And I'm not saying God is judging you. I'm saying it is consequence. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's consequence. If you try to swim against the tide of a river, you understand what I'm saying? Are we getting this? The reason why things are hard, the reason why things are tough is because of transgression. I spoke about alignment on Sunday. So tonight, I want to show you three areas. I want to show you three ways you can align your life with God. And let me assume that before now you did not know. But after tonight, no excuse. So just three ways you should align your life with God. This is the first one. Be mindful of his presence. Be mindful of his presence. Hallelujah. Be mindful of his presence. Okay? Would you tell somebody the words of that song we all loved to sing? Some of you did choreography too. But I don't know if the revelation dawned on you. Tell your neighbor for me, he lives in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell the person again, he lives in you. See, if you're born again, he lives in you. Listen, you don't have to sing, let the power of the Lord come down. Or let the presence of the Lord come. I love the song, but it's not true. Let the presence of the Lord from heaven. No, he lives in you. He's not coming down. He came and he never left. Are you listening to me? On the day of Pentecost, he came and he has not left since then. Tell your neighbor now. Some people are going to think, and you know I don't support this club, but this is a very good thing to say at this point. Tell your neighbor you are never alone. Yeah, you are never alone. Amen. Close your eyes and let it dawn on you. Say it to yourself, I am never alone. Come on, say it one more time. I am never alone. Say it one more time. I am never alone. Listen, so if we go back to Sunday's message, man's not God. So every time people abandon you and then you say, I am alone, you are discrediting the fact that God is with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Say, everybody abandoned me. Nobody cares about me. That's not true. You are never alone. Hallelujah. So be mindful. Mindful means mindful. Be conscious of it. God is with me. God is here. You know, if you are mindful of that, there are places you won't go. Some people leave God at home. Sometimes they leave God in their quiet place. You know that your closet. When you finish praying in the morning, then you leave God. He's not an idol. They leave God there. Then they go on the streets and they live the way they like. If you are going to tell me the truth, you didn't start feeling God's presence when you got born again. He's been involved in your affairs long before you answered the altar call. And he's always with you. Apart from God, angels. So you are never alone. Hallelujah. John chapter 14 and verse 16 to 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Are you conscious of that? The Holy Spirit is here. How can a man cheat if he's conscious of God's presence? Think about it. How can an employee cheat? If you are conscious, I remember this beautiful story. There was this guy who was supposed to be a pastor. And he was dating this lady and he was pressuring her for premarital sex. You know, and he was pressuring her. And she didn't want to lose the relationship. Okay? And so, she gave him a promise one day. That, okay, I've heard. Okay, we'll do it. You know, and all that. So when she entered the room, she told him, oh yeah, lock the door. So he locked the door. And he wanted to drive. He said, wait, we can lock the window now. Look, I don't want anybody to see us. So he locked the window. Then when he was about to grab, I said, wait, lock the heavens. Do you understand now? If I was the one, I would have said, lock God out. So have you locked the door? So yes. So when you were locking the door, did you push the Holy Spirit outside? He's always with you. You've got to be conscious. Now this is what I'm trying to say. There is a lot to benefit from his presence. But you will not benefit when you are not acknowledging, when you are not conscious of the fact that he is with me right now. At every point in time. He said he will be with you when? Forever. Verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But watch this. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. As a point, he was telling them it was not yet the day of Pentecost. Now, the Bible says how the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. As long as he was with them, the Holy Spirit was with them. So he said, he has been with you. Okay? But after now, he will be in you. And that's what we experience. You're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. You are not just filled so that you can speak in tongues. You have his presence with you at every point in time. So acknowledge his presence. Be conscious of his presence. Make the most of your access to him. And stop running after men. Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Spirit is the wisest ever. We read from Romans, okay, Romans 11 on Sunday. His wisdom is past finding out. Many of us, we seek counsel of men because we refuse to seek the counsel of God. You know, there was a time in my life I used to think going for counseling was something. You know, as a matter of fact, people still think that faking counseling or the need for counsel is how you get close to leaders. Let me give you this free of charge. Leaders don't fall in love with people that come to them with problems. Leaders fall in love with people that come to them with solutions. So don't think if I have I can always be in Pashegun's office unless I have a problem. The more problem you have, the more I don't want to see you. I don't like problem. I like solutions. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you the things that get on my nerve the most. I'm just being frank with you. After a Sunday service or a service like this, where Sister Judy has led us in powerful prayer session, I'm sharing the word. Okay? And then we finish, and then somebody sees me on corridor and you start crying. So first, at the end of the service, virtue has left me. I am tired. But after all of that fantastic experience, how can you be crying? Somewhere along the line in the service, it should have reached you. But sometimes people, God is there, but they don't want God. They don't want God's counsel. They don't want his solution. They don't want his healing. They want the thought of men. So they lock up throughout the service. Bishop Jake says a lot of times you fix appointments to see us in the office so that we can tell you in the office what we told you on the pulpit. Because it's the same thing. The righteous shall live by faith. Somebody says, Bishop, pray for me. I said, were you not in the service when we prayed? Are we getting this? Were you not there when we prayed? Especially that one we prayed at the end of the message, when I prayed for everybody. No, I want you to pray for me directly. It's not more powerful when it's just the two of us. As a matter of fact, there is a high likelihood for the prayer to be answered when it's all of us. For what the Bible says, whatever two or three of us shall agree as touching on earth shall be done of our Father in heaven. The one I pray for you personally. Or you know, some people say, please be praying for me. Be praying for me. You see some people say, are you praying for me? The way I'm feeling, I'm not sure you are praying for me. Let me tell you the truth. Nobody is praying for you. Wake up tomorrow morning, join us 5:30. Pray for yourself. Amen. But Pastor, I need help. You have the Holy Spirit. The person Jesus depended on. Hello. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. What did he do with the anointing of the Holy Spirit? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So there is nothing you are going through that can't be fixed by the person that helped Jesus to fix all the problems he fixed. Are you getting this? Come on, say it one more time. I'm never alone. So you see, what we need to do is we need to learn to practice his presence. Be conscious God is here. Invest in fellowship with him. He is with you. Hallelujah. Amen. He is with you. And he is not going to leave. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 28 to 32. Now look at what the Bible says. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must walk, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And you see, verse 30 looks like it's just talking there. and do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you have been sealed to the day of redemption. And I'm wondering, so how do we grieve the Holy Spirit, the things before and the things after? Do you understand what I'm saying? To grieve means to make somebody mourn. So all of those things you do, unconscious of the fact that he is with you, he will never leave you nor forsake you. You are just grieving him.
Let me say it in a way you would understand. It's like doing bad things, hoping your grandmother, I mean your mother-in-law will go. Do you understand now? Mm-mm. Some of us, you know, you think, the way I've been living, God has left me. The Holy Spirit has. No, you may be grieving him, but he will never leave you nor forsake you. So the moment you know he's not going anywhere, repent and turn to him and stop grieving him. Instead of continuing in this evil way, thinking he won't stay around people like me. No, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So honor him with your lifestyle instead of grieving him with your lifestyle. That's alignment. Are we getting this? He wants to comfort you. He wants to strengthen you. The Bible says, if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal. I don't know if you understand that verse of scripture. My body is my body. Everything that is part of me is my mortal body. My brain is a part of my mortal body. So when I pray, I tell the Holy Spirit to quicken my brain. Quicken, give life to my intelligence. This is what I'm saying. If you keep thinking the way you have been thinking, you will keep creating the solutions you've been creating, and you'll be getting the value you've been getting, instead of you shouting, more money, more money, more money, more money. Say, Holy Spirit, quicken my thinking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I've got to create better things. I've got to create better products. I've got to bring better value to the table. And I carry the Holy Spirit, the same person that made Solomon wise. Can you see how now? A lot of us are supposed to be living better lives, but we are transgressing. You are carrying the Holy Spirit all around and you are running after men. So can you imagine, that guy was supposed to help me. He did not help me. The Holy Spirit said, allow me to help you. Hallelujah. Allow me to help you. Pastor, how do I align myself with God? Number two, live by his principles. Live by his principles. Okay, live by his principles. We're almost done. The Bible is not only a book of promises. It is also a book of principles. The Bible is not only a book of promises. It is also a book of principles. There is no situation, there is no circumstance that is not covered by scripture. There is no challenge you are dealing with, or there is no situation you will have to deal with that scripture does not have solution for. That's the truth. And what I see a lot of people do, this is another way we transgress, is that we respond to life or we make decisions in life without considering what the word of God has said concerning that situation. That's the truth. We do what we feel like doing and we transgress against principles. And you need to understand something about principles. You can only break yourself against principles. You cannot break principles. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't master the law of flight, the law of gravity will disgrace you. And every area of life is governed by laws. Are we getting this? If a person is going to become a billionaire in cocoa in the next 20 years, there are principles to follow. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are principles to follow. If a person is going to become a millionaire in maize or in animal farming, there are principles to follow. You cannot feed chicken with stubborn grass and expect it to give you eggs. Are we getting this now? You cannot take raw meat and give it to a cow. Principles. It's the same thing in the Word of God. There are principles that govern life, and they are in Scripture. We've got to know them. We've got to master them. We've got to live by them, and our lives will be prosperous. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. Look at this. You know they are true. For you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. And they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Can you see this? What does Scripture give us? Wisdom. Are you getting this? Some of you, as I'm saying it right now, you can recall some principles of Scripture that you've been taught since you were a kid. And some of those principles are still helping you right now.
The scripture is able to give you what? Wisdom. Look at verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Listen, let me tell you something. If you practice his presence and you are a student of the word and you live by the word, a lot of times you will self-correct before people notice your error. Please take that from me. I'll say it again. If you learn to practice his presence, if you become a student of the word, and you choose to live by the word, a lot of times, before people will tell you you did something wrong, you will self-correct. Amen? Because the word of God is a mirror. Hallelujah. Now that's SMP. Class 1 or class 2. The word of God is a mirror. The moment you start meditating in scripture, you see yourself. You see what's wrong with you. And that's why I'm not the kind of person, I don't like telling people what's wrong with them. I believe it takes insincerity for a person not to know what's wrong with them. Do you understand? The moment you get, God wants to, he will show you. The word of God will show you. You will see, this is where I'm missing it. This is where I'm making a mistake. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. Can you see this? And teaches us to do what is right. Verse 17. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Hallelujah. So you've got to live by his principles. Parenting is in scripture. Marriage is in scripture. Business is in scripture. How to handle finances is in scripture. How to handle relationships, it's in scripture. But there are so many believers who refuse to live by the principles of scripture. Of course, that takes us back to Romans chapter 1. When you refuse to retain the knowledge of God, it gives you over. Okay? And you will see all manner of evil in the lives of those who refuse to retain the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. So live by his principles. Don't just know the principles. I remember years ago, I was with a few people and we were visiting this great man of God. And somebody asked him a question. He said, we noticed that you do multiple services in your church. And when you started, as at that time, they were doing about 5 services every Sunday. He said, and the person asked him, he said, when you started multiple services, we noticed you used to preach different messages, okay? In one Sunday, you would do a message, maybe part 1, part 2, part 3, okay, in the 3 services. He said, but now we notice it's the same message you preach, first service, second service, third service. He said, yes. He said, I came to the conclusion, after so many years of preaching and teaching, he said, I came to the conclusion that ignorance is not the problem. The person pastors a church in Lagos. He said, the average Christian in Lagos knows the word of God, knows the truth. He said, the problem is we are not practicing what we know. So when there is exposure to light and there is no change, the next thing that is necessary is repetition. I would have said anybody here repeated a class, but that would be embarrassing, right? But every time you sit for an exam, and it is obvious based on that exam that you don't know something you are supposed to know, what do you do? Repetition is not wrong. Repetition is how we learn. And it's at this point I will tell you, this idea of I was in the service where Pishex preached the message, and then you just go away. You don't buy CD. You don't listen to the message over and over and over again. It's lost on you. Because research has shown in 24 hours, you've forgotten majority of what you heard. So for the thing to stay with you, you have to what? You have to read it over and over. You have to listen over and over again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but therein shall you meditate day and night. You can read the Bible all through in 1 year. So when he says meditate day and night, what it means is that 1 year when you read the Bible all through, they expect you the following year to do it again. And then to do it again. If not, you have stopped meditating day and night. Okay? It is in that repetition that you will observe. Somebody told a story I saw on Instagram this morning, and he said, and I know many of us did this. He said, in primary school, you know, you are the cool guy when you can tell a fantastic story. You know, maybe something happened in our house, or you know, you tell a story, everybody's just excited at the story you are telling. And for you to be cool way back in primary or secondary school days, you make up some of the stories. Anybody made up a story? Yeah, let me see your hand. Faithful people, yeah. So there was this challenge he said he had. And he said he told this story and everybody liked it and he was just the cool guy. He said, as people would ask him to tell the story, and he said, he told the story severally, to the point where he believed the story himself. And he said, years later, now everybody is an adult. So he was now gisting with his friends, and they were reminiscing, okay, about school days and all that. And one person now said, that story, tell us. He said, and he started telling the story, and halfway he stopped and asked himself, is it true or not? Did it happen or not? Because it's the power of repetition. Pastor Shagun, what has that got to do with my life? Romans 10:17. And faith comes by repetition. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see people living the word, they declare it, it comes to pass. It's a part of their life. They behave in certain ways. It's because they've repeated it to themselves over and over again till it is now their truth. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, He is my God. It is when I keep saying it that it becomes truth to me. Are you getting this? So you've got to declare those words. You've got to believe those words. You've got to live by those words. Especially in the days when you are not seeing results according to those words. Keep saying them. Keep believing them. One of these days, it becomes a part of you. Hallelujah. And finally tonight, I want to align my life with God. Pursue His purpose. Pursue His purpose. I want to tell your neighbor something for me. Tell that person, God has a plan for your life. Write it down. A lot of people don't know. God is not a well-wisher. God is not a philanthropist in your affairs. God is not trying to favor you just because you fasted in January. Because they say, I'm going to try. You see, 21 days. Let me do something. Let me say this to you. And some of you will testify how that there are some things that have happened in your life in seasons where you know I don't deserve this. But when it's your time, it's your time. When it's your turn, it's your turn. Some of us married folks know we're grateful to God. We're trying to catch up. But we don't deserve what we got. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know the reason why? Because before He formed you, He knew you. And He ordained you. So there were things He allowed to happen because they were in accordance to His plan for your life. You need to always remember that God has a plan for your life. See, when I talk about transgression, this is the area where people transgress the most. That's the truth. Education has lied to us that it's our life, that we can do what we like. Do you understand? That's what will make you take a Picanto and get on Formula One. It's my car. I bought it with my money. I can do what I like with it. By like the third round, you will just notice you are flying. Because you were not created for that kind of speed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we think it's fundamental human. I can do what... And then you begin to compete with people as if they are doing what they are doing by themselves. If it's not in your engine, it can't come out of your exhaust. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people rev their car, you want it to sound in a particular way. If it's not a muzzle car, it cannot... See, there's nothing wrong with it. It was not designed for that. That's the truth. So you need to sit... Go back to principle number one. Practice His presence. And say, Lord, reveal me to me. Father, what's your plan for me? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts. A translation says, I know the plans. God has a plan for your life. In other words, 2020, February 27, God has a clear picture of how your life is supposed to go. Psalm 139, David said, all my days were written in your book before any of them came to be. Said, God, according to that book you wrote concerning me, what's supposed to be happening today? If you don't align yourself with it, you'll be transgressing. Things will be hard. Hallelujah. Things will be hard. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but only the Lord's purpose for him will prevail. So when you see people who succeed, perhaps one way or the other, they stumbled into purpose. What breaks my heart is how I see sometimes unbelievers stumble into purpose, and yet some believers miss it. Because even at an event like Purpose Masterclass, we teach people. They appoint us to purpose. And so people ignore all of those things and they just want to be like somebody else. They just, this is nice. I just want to. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. That's the truth. It doesn't work that way. Everybody who is in purpose, there is a certain level of ease that comes with effort. Oh boy. How do I explain this? It's work. But it's easy. So, Apostle Paul said, I am all that I am by the grace of God. He said, even though I have worked harder than they all, yet not I, but the grace. So you will work harder than every other person, but because it's in your zone, it will not feel like work. You will have aptitude for it. You will be gifted for it. When you attempt it, it will come to you easily because it's your field. So please stop envying medical doctors. There's an equipping they have that made them medical doctors. There's an equipping you have that is supposed to make you what he ordained you to be. One of the wisest things you can do in your life is to pause every other thing until you figure purpose out. See, you've got to know why. That's the truth. You've got to know why. If I did not know my purpose, I would have gotten depressed when I stopped singing good. Because when I was a teenager, listen to this. When I was a teenager, I was not happy because my voice was not the way I wanted it to be. And one day I was praying and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, when you hit the age of 24, your voice is going to change. And I held it as a promise for a long time. And when I got to around 24, I started singing wicked vocals. I was doing very well. But around that same season, I'm grateful to God I attended a church where my pastor taught us purpose. See, there are people that know me now who are still shocked that I have not released an album. Because as I matured in fellowship with God, he made me to understand music is not your primary thing. It's ancillary to what I've called you to do. So my music software was not upgraded and I didn't get offended. But my wisdom was, my speaking was, my leadership was. Okay? Because I know what my purpose is. And that's why you will notice some people, they used to be. One of the things you can make as a mistake is to define yourself too early. I know we like labels a lot. I'm a worship leader. I'm a pastor. You may be a worship leader for 2 years because God was using it to prepare you for your marriage. I'm telling you the truth. So I can tell Exclaim what to do. All of them can sing better than me, but I can teach them how to lead worship. That's the truth. Because as the lead pastor of the church, I'm the chief worshiper. Do you understand what I'm saying? The same way, you don't have to be a fantastic footballer to be a coach. Do you know? No, you don't. See, you don't have to win any trophy to be a coach. But there must be an equipping you have that when you speak to a player and he follows your advice, their potential comes out. That's it. So you've got to know who you are. You've got to know who you are. Some of us are struggling to be, whereas we were called to parent the person. Are you getting this? Yeah, you see, John the Baptist would have been dragging shirts with the disciples of Jesus. No. Okay, sometimes you are not the person, you are the forerunner to the person. Sometimes you are not the person, you are the father of the person, you are the mother of the person. But you've got to know who you are. And there's something about being comfortable in his presence that will make you comfortable in your own skin. Because if there's anything you will take away from fellowship with God, is you will know you for who you are. Oh boy. There's something I love about God. The more you fellowship with him, the more he reveals himself to you and he reveals you to you. Pastor, how do I align myself? Learn this message. Your goals and your faith projects must be in pursuit of God's purpose for your life and nothing else. This is the greatest way I see a lot of people transgress. The fact that I can set a goal for myself. So some of us are building houses God didn't send us to build. Amen. Some of us are pursuing some qualifications he didn't send us. There's nothing wrong with qualifications, but it may be wrong for you. Remember Gehazi? Elisha said there's nothing wrong with collecting offering, but collecting it now, there's a problem with that. In this season, when you collect it, you exchange. Whatever trouble is on him, Naaman, is coming on you. Because you collected it at the wrong time. So you've got to be sensitive. And the best way to be sensitive is to keep in step with the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:25. If we claim to live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed tonight? Let's rise up on our feet and bless his name.